Welcome to the Dr. Francavilla Show. I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Francavilla, board-certified family physician and diplomate of the American Board of Obesity Medicine. I've been helping patients lose weight to treat and prevent medical problems for the last 10 years, and I'm taking what I've learned from them to you. In this podcast, you will learn the science behind why you struggle with your weight and what to do about it, tips for common challenges, work to fight bias about what a healthy weight really is, and improve your relationship with food and your body. Please remember that while I'm a doctor, I'm not your doctor. This podcast is meant to be informational in nature only, not medical advice. Please seek out care from your physician for your specific needs. Okay, let's get started. All right. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast episode. Today, we are going to talk all about sugar. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it the worst of all foods? What's the deal with artificial sugars? And to talk about this, I have brought an expert, a colleague with me today. Dr. Shaw is a board certified family physician who's one of less than 6,000 doctors like me who specializes in obesity and overweight healthcare in the U.S. She's a diplomate of the American Board of the Obesity Medicine. She's a member of the House of Delegates for the Florida Medical Association, a member of the Carl Alderberg MD Physician Leadership Academy, and a certified life coach through the Life Coach School. She also serves on the editorial board for the Obesity Pillars Journal. Dr. Shaw serves on the Physician Society of Central Florida Board of Directors and is the best-selling author of Made for More. Oh my goodness, could we pack any more in there? So she brings her medical experience and coaching experience, like we've heard actually from a lot of our different guests on this show, to help patients overcome obesity and improve their health for good. So like me, in this for long-term results, we are not about quick fixes, right? Like we are about long-term improvements of health. She founded Weight Sense Link Nona, an obesity practice in Orlando, Florida, to deliver science-based medicine and personalized obesity treatment. And she is, again, one of our obesity medicine diplomate colleagues. So super excited to have her today. And we're going to talk all about sugar. So I find that sugar is often sort of like the most demonized of all foods, right? Especially in like the last couple decades. I think in my childhood, I'm going to let people know when I was born, I guess, with this, like fat was the demonized food, right? And through my adulthood, it has shifted to sugar. Sugar is the bad guy. And more recently, artificial sugars, I think, have also gotten like a little bit more thrown under the bus as well. So we'll kind of start like there. Like, what do you think generally about sugar? Is sugar like the bad guy in the nutrition story?
All right. So in terms of like diet history, diet culture, what we do with food currently, it's just like you said, it's one macronutrient war versus another macronutrient war. And I don't actually subscribe to any of it. I just think very sensible, logical, sound advice will take you a lot further for your health goals. So to me, it's like, when I'm working with people, it's what are we trying to get at? Like, if we're trying to just return to having like normal feelings about food and controlling our cravings around food and not overeating, perhaps having added sugar in the diet and reducing that would be wonderful, but I'm not going to cry over you eating an apple.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so we have like the high level, like, okay, yeah. It depends on the person, right? And I'll be honest, I haven't talked about nutrition on this podcast as much as I would like, because it can be really hard to deliver information in about food in a broad way, because people respond differently to different types of food. And it really is about making the biggest change for that person's nutrition, right? So if someone is drinking like 5 sodas a day, decreasing that is probably going to be a really big priority for me when I'm talking with that person about nutrition. But if someone is drinking 1 soda a week, that may not be the biggest thing we're going to change about their diet. And so like soda or sugar, suddenly, like, you know, for some people, it is the biggest thing we need to talk about. And for some people, it isn't. So, but I'm going to try to get more into the nutrition stuff, because I think I've been doing this for 10 years. I can handle it. We can make this broad advice that's helpful to anyone listening. Okay. So let's talk definitions a little bit. When we say sugar, what are we talking about?
Yeah. So I love this, like this thought on definition. So the way I group it is natural occurring sugars found in whole foods versus added sugar. And added sugar has maybe 1,000 different euphemisms because it's just altered and adjusted and added on all these different labels. And we can't even recognize it. We may not even see that something is a sugar when we're eating something. But natural occurring sugar, sugar that's found in fruits and vegetables and dairy products like lactose and milk, these sugars usually accompany the whole food and they have fiber, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. So when you're having natural sugar in a fruit as fructose, it's a very different effect on your body and on the bloodstream in terms of glucose metabolism than say if you are having chocolate cake.
Yeah, totally. And different than maybe like apple juice, right? So I think that's like when we take out the fiber and the skin of the apple and all we have is the juice, which is just the fructose hanging out, floating around in water, that has a very different effect on our blood sugar and how we handle that food and our fullness. So I talk about, you know, the whole apple versus like juice a fair amount when I talk about nutrition. If you ever have the chance to watch your blood sugar, like wear one of the monitors or something, like for me, the effect of juice was shocking. Like I had a small amount of pineapple juice and it looked like I had diabetes. Like it was shocking how high my blood sugar went. So for me, like that difference between how the food is made is really important, right? So if we're eating a whole pineapple, we're eating a whole apple, a whole orange, that's different than having apple juice or orange juice or pineapple juice, right? Because number one, how many apples are in a glass of apple juice? Like four? I don't know, right? Like a lot, right? Maybe so it's more apples than most of us would probably eat at once.
Exactly.
And it doesn't have all that fiber, right? So we don't feel full and our blood sugar spikes. So it's like a totally different response to that whole food versus that processed food of juice.
Exactly. So anytime we're refining it, like if it wasn't naturally occurring on the planet, and if we've refined it, turned it into juice, turned it into some other product or added it in, probably not going to have a great effect on your blood glucose levels. And it's this excess sugar that is linked to obesity and type 2 diabetes and many of the cardiovascular diseases that we're seeing around. So I think it is an important like macronutrient or product to be aware of.
And yeah. Okay. So let's talk more about that. So now that we've sort of said like, look, sugar can mean different things. There's the sugar that's just naturally occurring in food, right? There's going to be some fructose in your apple. There's going to be some lactose, which is a type of sugar in just your milk or your plain yogurt that doesn't have any added sugar, right? So there's going to be some things that are categorized as sugar. But then there's these added sugars or these sort of processed sugars that are added to food or that sometimes we eat whole as gummy worms or soda. Like it's just nothing but the sugar is not even added to anything else. So why is that particularly hard for our bodies?
Yeah. So when we get this load of sugar into our bodies, it is causing your pancreas to release the insulin. And then the insulin will have to decide what it's going to do with those extra glucose molecules around. And usually, for most people, we have enough energy on board in our brain and our muscles and our liver. So this extra glucose will be transported to the liver and converted to fat. And if it's just constantly in the bloodstream, your body becomes resistant to the insulin molecule. And that glucose now has no home to go. And your body wants to maintain its health and maintain glucose appropriately in the bloodstream at a very particular level. If it goes above that, that's when you're going to get complications associated with diabetes and other medical conditions like heart disease and so forth. So over time, that wear and tear, over time, that exposure to high levels of glucose or sugar is detrimental to your health. And that's kind of the mechanism.
Yeah. Okay. And then one thing that we mentioned was added sugar versus sort of this naturally occurring sugar. And if people want to figure out where that's coming from in their food, that's where like a nutrition label comes in, right? And there's been a shift. They've been working on this for, it feels like a decade. It was the Obama administration that started to push for this change in the nutrition labels where you can actually see added sugar versus sugar. And those are different, right? Because again, you know, if you're having a food that has sweet potato or fruit or dairy in it, there's going to be sugar, but it's not necessarily added sugar. And the added sugar is probably the thing that most of us want to try to limit and try to avoid. It's not what our bodies are necessarily meant to eat. And so a lot of nutrition labels nowadays will separate that out and you can see added sugars. And I think that's really helpful on the nutrition labels. And it can help you pick types of food. The first time, gosh, this was more than 10 years ago that I tracked sugar. It was part of a challenge we did at my CrossFit gym. And I looked at every single label and you learn a lot so quickly. There was at the time this brand of sweet potato chips that I really liked. And I saw that they had a little bit of added sugar. So I looked at some comparable brands and the other two brands didn't have added sugar. And so for me, I was like, oh, well, great. Now I'll just pick one of these other brands that is a little bit more of a whole food that doesn't have this added sugar. And same thing, like yogurt is another one where, gosh, the added sugar on some yogurts, it's like you might as well have ice cream or gummy worms, right? If you're going to eat that much sugar. And then some, it's a lot less. So I think that's super helpful. You're nodding your head a lot. Other things to add to that?
Well, I think just looking at the labels and knowing that like it can be added and also in foods that it has no business being in because right. It is such an addictive substance. So like when I've done this in the past and I've like paid attention to labels, it's like hot sauces and like peanuts. And
tomato sauce, like your spaghetti sauce. Some of those have like a ton of sugar added. Yeah.
Because it can be a preservative. It can be there and also make us eat more of the food. There's a reason it's in there. So when I started to just omit it and pay attention to the labels, that was quite shocking to me of like how much in my day-to-day, even if I wasn't having like what I would consider a sweet food, sugar was in there all throughout it.
Right. Yeah. It's added to so many things. There was a presentation by one of the like gurus at one of our conferences years ago. And they were talking about how when we traditionally think of processed food, we think about salt as sort of the thing that makes something a processed food, but actually processed foods are more likely to have extra sugar than extra salt, even though lots of them do have extra salt as well. And that we might want to think about that added sugar as sort of something that we notice with sort of the processed foods. And going a slightly different direction for a second, one of the trends right now in nutrition is sort of that the ultra processed foods, the foods that we can barely recognize as foods, things like Oreos, Cheetos, really processed foods are probably the thing that is contributing the most to weight gain for people because it's really hard to regulate how much of those you eat the way they're made. And so again, going back to this concept that, you know, this added sugar, this processed food, these are foods that are harder on our bodies. They're also easier to eat too much of, right? It's a lot easier to eat 1,000 calories of apple juice even than it is to eat 1,000 calories of apples. Like you gotta really love apples to eat 1,000 calories of apple slices. But apple juice, I mean, you just have a couple glasses of juice, refreshing yourself on a hot day, you could easily have that much, right? Same thing with soda or sweet tea or any of these sweet beverages. It's so easy to drink a lot of something like that.
I'm embarrassed to say, but a part of like I've dealt with food and overeating sugar things my whole life. And I remember as a kid, I could easily eat a sleeve of Chips Ahoy cookies. Like now it would make me super, super sick because I don't have that.
Totally do not be embarrassed. I am the same way. I love sugar. I definitely have to be intentional about moderating sugar. And as a kid, I definitely had like crumbled up actual Oreos with milk for breakfast. I grew up, my dad owned an ice cream shop. I ate ice cream probably most days of my teenage life and not small portions. So I am with you. And I think the thing that we all need to understand is it's normal to like sugar. Our brains are programmed to like it because sugar was rare in nature, right? If you were like a caveman wandering around finding your own food, there's not a lot of like pure sugar, right? There's not gummy worms or soda floating around. There was honey, right? Maybe not the easiest thing in the world to get. And at short periods of the year, there was ripe fruit that may have been sweet, but probably wasn't even as sweet as our fruit today. And sugar is a really excellent source of nutrition. It's fast nutrition. You can store it really well for later as fat. And so it makes sense for our bodies to like sugar and want to eat as much of it as it can when it finds it. But we live in 2023 where there's an abundance of sugar and our brain hasn't caught up with that and said like, hey, back off. You don't need to store this much because we're still programmed to like it. So I think it's normal to like sugar. Unfortunately, we don't live in the world that our bodies evolved to live in. It hasn't caught up yet. And so that desire, that craving, that enjoyment of sugar can sometimes be a problem for us in the modern world.
Absolutely. And I think that's very critical because it's the added sugar. It's easy access to it, easily being able to eat it all that starts creating problems. But I also think that, like you said, if we have sweet taste, we don't have to villainize it. We can just be mindful and enjoy the amount in a reasonable, amounts. So like treats as treat, not every single day. Just have it when you really want it. Have it for special occasions. That special occasion hopefully isn't every single day, but I think that might be for you, you can still include it in because food is joyous, but we can have it in moderation.
Absolutely. I always say, I don't want to be the person who's not having a slice of cake at a wedding, right? Like if I have to be that strict that I can't enjoy something at a true celebration, then, you know, like this maybe is not going to be a flexible lifestyle for me or anyone long-term. But you do have to watch out and make sure there's not too many celebrations. That's a challenge I see for some of my patients. Exactly. They're like, well, we had this graduation party and then we had this birthday party and then it was, you know, like so-and-so's retirement party and then it was 4th of July. And you're like, whoa, like that's a lot of celebrations in the last month, right? Like we can't celebrate 5 days of the week or we're probably not helping our health or our weight. So this is where I think it gets a little individualized because some of my patients will describe if they have a small amount of sugar that that's kind of triggering for them and they struggle to have that small portion. And then others of my patients will say, as long as I have my small square of dark chocolate every day, like I'm satisfied and I can move on. Or some people like those like 100 calorie ice creams or popsicles or things like that. So they can have their appropriately portioned amount of sugar that they enjoy and they just move on. They feel satisfied. And then for other people, they're like, I cannot just have that one small amount. Like it always ends up being 4, 5, 7 portions of whatever that is if I have it. So how do you kind of help people guide towards, you know, that experience with sugar so that they can have it more in moderation?
You know, I think it's exactly like you're saying that usually at this point when people are coming to us, they kind of know, like they've tried it before. And if they haven't, I ask them to try like what's going to work. But the special occasions bit for a moment, like if they're going in and there's like a celebration and cake and everything at all of these events, I first ask them like, do you really like this item? Like, are you just eating the cake because it's just there? Like, do you actually really love it? So I think that at this point, make sure when you're eating it, you really enjoy it. And it's not, you're not doing it just because it's there and you feel like you have to. That's level one for me. Level two for me is really knowing yourself and knowing, can you stop or can you not? And I think that is kind of confounding, right? Like if you're someone who might have alcohol and then that just kind of releases all inhibitions and now you're just eating everything in sight, maybe it has nothing to do with that dessert. Maybe it has to do with the alcohol that you were having. For some other people, it might simply be that they're going in, and I see this a lot, like they're going in saving their calories for the end of the day. And they think that if I don't eat, I'm going to be able to like eat all of my calories at this time. So what I actually tell them is the reverse. It's like, go in like fed, well nourished, make sure you're not like crazy hungry. And then perhaps that'll give you an opportunity to enjoy it. And then the third that I don't even know what number we're on, but I also tell people like we can eat it and move on. Like, you don't have to guilt yourself. Like if we want to eat something, if we're going to eat it, let's get out of that shame and self-hate cycle and let's just move on with our lives.
Right. Feeling bad about it does not make you lose weight. It does not improve your health, right? Like beating yourself up, dwelling, having guilt or shame around a food. Yeah, you actually don't lose weight from that. Otherwise, everyone would be thin, right? Like,
exactly.
So, I just a great point. Like, enjoy it, right? Don't eat it just because it's there or because there's an obligation. If you don't like the cake, like, don't feel obligated to eat it at the birthday party, right? So, I think that that is huge. And hunger, actual hunger, plus these foods that are easy to overeat, like sugar, sweets, are a bad combination, right? So, you know, this old advice that maybe your parents shared with you, mine didn't. Mine let me eat dessert before dinner. But like, you know, maybe it's like fill up on the good stuff, right? Like if you're satisfied or you've eaten throughout the day, when you go to eat the chocolate or the gummy worms or the cake or the ice cream or whatever your sweet of choice is, you're less likely to overeat if you're satisfied and full already. If you're starving, like you're going to keep eating that sugar. That's what your body is designed to do. It's like jackpot. I found the honey pot. Let's keep eating, right?
We're tired. Like, you know, sometimes it's not even like if I'm hungry, I'm really exhausted and this is going to give me that little like boost.
Yes. And I mean, we know that people who are tired, they crave worse foods. And this was actually just at our most recent conference in a talk about sleep, that even a little bit of sleep deprivation, getting like half an hour less than you should, is going to put you towards craving, you know, the less healthy foods, the sweet foods, the salty foods, the fatty foods. And so, you know, recognizing some of that too, setting yourself up for success around these foods.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one thing that some people do or some people promote is sort of like a sugar detox, where maybe you go a month or a certain time period where you completely cut out any added sugars. Some people will also cut out like all sugars, artificial sweeteners, which we haven't even talked about yet, and even like natural things like agave honey. So what are your thoughts on sugar detoxes?
So I've done these myself and they can be very eye-opening, but I will not tell like every single patient I see like across the board to do this. My own experience, I literally have been in clinic before going through one of these things and I have triggered a migraine and needed to excuse myself to vomit. Like it really was not an ideal thing for me to go through while working, but it was really eye-opening to see how sugar, like how much my body wanted the sugar, where sugar was hidden and all of my food. Like it was a very interesting experience and experiment to kind of reset. And after a few days, I realized that like,
miserable for you if you're getting like intractable migraines, right? But it also shows you like this has like an effect on our body for sure. I've tried this. And for me, it's actually really useful because I'm a little bit more of the person where if I have a little bit, I want more. And so it has definitely helped me get out of those cycles of, you know, eating too much sugar, but it's not sustainable, right? And so I think the mindset for me afterwards has to be like, okay, and now that I'm having sugar, like how much is reasonable to have? So it sounds like listen to your body and you're not alone in that. I definitely have known lots of people who feel kind of miserable when they do this for days or a week where they have like headaches and they feel fatigued and they feel nauseous. Like, you know, like they can't go from like, you know, 50 grams of sugar or 20 grams of sugar a day to nothing. Their body really has a reaction to that. So not the only solution. I like the point you made about the awareness though, right? If you're doing that, it's a time where you start looking at labels and you start just seeing where that sugar is coming in. Sometimes it's in like coffee creamers. Some people don't realize how much like their coffee creamer has. They're like, oh, you know, it says it only has 1 gram. And you're like, yeah, but you're having 10 servings. So you're being 10 grams of sugar, right? We fall for this trick once a year in my house. My husband gets some new coffee creamer that says like low sugar, 1 gram. And I'm like, yes, that's if we use a teaspoon, which we are definitely not using of this stuff, right? Because it's not strong enough with 1 teaspoon. So a strategy I sometimes have my patients do is like we set a goal around grams of added sugar. So I usually do 25 grams, which is, you know, like reasonable. You could still kind of live your life, but it is going to cut out some of the things that are really, really high in sugar. And that just gives a number to like track a little bit, right? When I did that the first time, there were these Clif bars at the hospital that we could, you know, use our credit at the hospital to get. And I'm like looking at stuff. I'm like, Clif bars are healthy. You know, and I look at it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like 22 grams of sugar. Like I'm wasting all of my sugar for the day on this Clif bar. Like I thought this was a healthy food. And it's, you know, Clif bars are great if you are hiking for 6 hours and you need quick sugar, right? But they are not designed for when you're sitting around on your computer doing notes on patients. It's too much sugar for an activity like that. So for me, that awareness was huge, right? To just know where it's coming from. And then I could be intentional, like, no, no, no. If I'm having 22 grams of sugar, I'm going to have some chocolate, right? I'm going to have something I enjoy.
Now, I actually start with breakfast or that first meal of the day, and it's usually breakfast. So what I'll tell people, a lot of healthy breakfast items are just chock full of added sugar.
Yes.
And I think that's a great spot. Like the drinks that we drink are usually sugar with more sugar on top, and the foods that we eat also have a lot of added sugar. So I'll just ask for patients to start thinking about eating foods, planning for foods that just don't naturally have sugar in it. So you're not missing out on anything or feeling like you need to substitute. And I think breakfast, if a person is eating breakfast, that might be a great place.
Yeah, that's such a great point. In our American diet, most of our breakfast foods have added sugar, right? Whether it's cereal or a muffin or a waffle or a pancake, like a lot of our foods have added sugar. So if we can just kind of, or yogurts, a lot of those have added sugar. So if we can sort of think about some of those foods and like, how can we switch those for that meal. And then of course the sweet beverages are really, really huge. That's like low hanging fruit to remove is this added, any beverage that has added sugar of any sort.
I have this joke that like no one fights me for their morning granola bar. It's like that. I can't not give up my morning granola bar. And so that's how I look at it. It's like, where are the foods that have added sugar in it? And you're okay with removing. And it's
because you just didn't realize it, right? Like, I feel like I'm picking on yogurt a lot in this episode, but that's one that I find for a lot of my patients is it's just switching the yogurt, right? Like, not that you can't have yogurt, but some of the yogurts out there, they're like pudding with some probiotics sprinkled in. I mean, they're not health foods. Some of them are. I think yogurt can be great, but it's like picking one that you still like that doesn't have as much sugar. So I think that's where that awareness, like just knowing what you're eating, looking at the label. And if there's one that you like almost as much or as much, like let's switch to that food.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest piece is like not looking at the front of the box and following all the advertising that's on the products, but actually reading the label on the back. I think that's key because often
because the front is advertising. That's like such a great point.
Low sugar, cholesterol, like lowers cholesterol. It's like all this false advertising. It's like, well, you got to really read the back. It's like, is this true?
I'm like the packaged food, it's like a mullet, right? Like in the front, it's like, this is what I offer. And you're like, I got to check out the back. You're like, no, this is not going to work. Too much sugar, too much calories. Like, no, you fooled me with your front.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to find like a mullet food and do an Instagram post with a mullet food. I'm going to find that. Okay. So detour again. One thing that was really interesting for me, and this is kind of going back to that Clif Bar experience, is last year I trained for a marathon. And there's two strategies you can do when you're doing these long distance exercises. One is that you can be keto adapted, meaning you're in a ketosis. You're always in ketosis and you're in that state all the time. And so your body's used to burning fat for energy and you don't have to keep giving it sugar during a race. Not that many people do that. Most people fuel like every 30 minutes or so during a marathon with basically like pure sugar. And so that was like a really interesting experience for me. And it reminded me that like there is a role for sugar, right? It is our most immediate source of sugar. If someone shows up at the hospital and they're dehydrated and they're malnourished, like one of the first things we give them is just pure sugar, right? Because it does. Like our body needs that. That's the quickest way to fuel our body. And so there's roles for that, right? And so I think that's another point to think about when we sort of demonize sugar too much is like, yes, if we can avoid it in our everyday life, but there is certain times where, again, it makes sense in certain states that our body's in where we do need sugar.
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
But I had to detox myself a little bit because I did get into this mindset of like sugar sign. I'm like, only when you're running for 4 hours, right? Then you do need extra sugar. But today you are not running 4 hours and your body does not need extra sugar. So it's all like figuring out what your body needs a little bit. Okay. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about artificial sweeteners. What is an artificial sweetener? Like what are these? What are the definitions? What are some examples?
No, I think the simplest way to think of an artificial sweetener is a product that has zero calories that is sweet.
Okay, great. I love that definition. I'm going to get a little geekier and talk about this term non-nutritive sweeteners, because that's I kind of set you up to fail with that, right? But non-nutritive really is because a lot of these sweeteners that we use now are not artificial. They're not made in a lab. They are derived someplace from nature, but they are something that is much sweeter in taste than it is in calories. And so, not all of them are artificial. And so again, when we're looking at like food packages, some things will say no artificial ingredients, no artificial sweeteners, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have one of these naturally derived sweeteners, which probably are a little safer and better for us than the lab created truly artificial ones. But there is still some concern and some unknowns about these, what we call non-nutritive sweeteners, right? These really sweet things that basically don't have calories that are more and more being used in food. So should we talk about some of the more specifics here? Do you have any other like specific thoughts on some of them, which ones are better than others, or what our concerns, if any, should be?
I don't have any of like which ones are better than others. I know recently within our community, there was a big article on sugar substitute. And I couldn't say it.
Erythritol.
Erythritol. See, I can't even say these words. That's usually my rules. If I can't say it, I probably don't want to eat.
That's a good rule. Yeah. If you can't say it, it's probably not a real food. Yeah.
Yeah. So the sugar substitute erythritol was shown to be linked to an increased risk of cardiovascular events in the study. And once this was going out, they looked at basically people going into and having major cardiovascular events, and then they scanned the blood to see where there are extra products or things that they could find. And these artificial or non-nutritive sweetener, erythritol, was present. Mm. The catch is our body actually produces this product in the gut, and it is naturally occurring. And I think the caveat is that when we have it in our foods, it's just at 1,000 times the limit. And I really think the end summary of all of this is like, we probably need more safety standards and more studies for these sugar substitutes. And my catch on all of this is like, it's probably best just to stick to whole foods when we can and not try to switch it all to like these non-nutritive products
completely. Yeah. I think that's like great advice, right? In general, eating real food is probably the best thing. I'm going to share a few other things about some of the artificial sweeteners too. This is from a handout. I actually had to whip out my laptop for this, but a handout that I have for my patients, which, we don't really 100% know why, but we do have some studies that for diet sodas, like our traditional diet sodas, people seem to gain more weight. And so that was, kind of a concern that like these should be helping us lose weight, but for some reason they don't. And they have that in some animal studies as well. They have like mice studies that these mice actually gained weight when they were drinking this artificial sweeteners. And again, this is more the true old artificial sweeteners. And then there's also been some links between artificial sweeteners and increased risk of diabetes and heart disease. So that's like a little bit concerning too. Our older one, aspartame, which is not in a ton of stuff, but actually is in the gum I like, can cause increased lipids, so increased cholesterol. So, there's a little bit of information about these that like maybe they don't help our health. And then some of our older ones, again, like aspartame, there was like concerns about potentially even like cancer risk with these. So, all of this to say, like, there has been a little bit of concerning information, but this is where it becomes really individualized, right? Is there a benefit to that non-nutritive or artificial sweetener in your diet, right? If you're right now drinking like 4 sodas or 4 sweet teas a day, and we can wean that down and have you do like 1 diet soda a day, I think that probably for most people is going to have a health benefit. Same thing for me. A lot of the places where artificial sweeteners tend to come in are in like protein shakes or protein bars. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you can find ones that are a more natural profile, but a lot of them do have these added ingredients to make them taste sweeter. But if that is really helpful for you maintaining weight or losing weight or fueling yourself with something reasonable on the go, like the benefit of that may be there, right? Now, if you're eating 18 of them a day, like you may start losing some of that benefit.
No, I completely agree. And I think, again, just making it more individual, it is like protein bars, protein shakes are definitely my thing on the go. If I'm going from point A to point B, instead of going through a drive-through, this is what I'm going to have, especially since I tend to have less protein in my diet on most days. So this is something that I'll incorporate and I won't cry over it.
Right. Like it's like, okay, like if I'm going to get some extra sweetener or artificial sweetener, like this may be the place, but it's serving a bigger goal that's working for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the question that has come up amongst sort of like our colleagues with more data saying the ultra processed food is the bad guy, right? Like that's the current bad guy. It was fat, now it's sugar. And now it's like the ultra processed food is the bad guy, right? But like protein bars, for example, I would consider that an ultra processed food. I can't really tell what this is. But it serves a purpose. You know, it's 150 calories and that's like a meal for people. And that can be a really helpful tool to maintaining or losing weight for people. That's really doable, right? So if that is the worst thing, the most processed thing you eat all day, like, you know, maybe that's okay for you. So I think this is where I have a really hard time, you know, doing like a podcast on a nutrition subject, because I think it's really important to figure out what works for you, what works for your body. There's no perfect diet out there.
And I think that's what we as obesity medicine physicians understand, that it is personal treatment and it's based on science, but then there's also just reality in our lives and how we live them. So the person in front of us really gets to benefit from like everything we know and then helping guide them.
Yeah.
And what they
want. Yeah, guide towards, right? Like that coaching, that medical advice of what makes sense for you as a person. And so, you know, like you said, there's only like 6,000 of us across the country who do this, but there is now like 6,000 of us who do this. So that may be who you need to help figure this out. What makes sense for you, for your health risks, for your body, you know, seeing an expert who can help you figure that out. If it's something you've struggled with, to figure out what's the best fuel for your body. You said something a bit ago about like eating real food. And so there's this Michael Pollan quote from one of his books.
Oh, I love him.
Yes. Who doesn't love Michael Pollan? Right? He gives really good, I think, common sense advice.
I know
about
exactly
food.
What you're going to say.
And it's eat food, not too much, mostly plants. And I'm like, that is the best simple nutrition advice. I think I've been giving that advice for like, I don't know, 12 or 15 years. Like it is good advice, right? And eat food, meaning like eat real food, eat stuff your great grandmother would recognize what it is, right? If it's super processed, ground up ingredients we can't pronounce, like maybe that is not quite food anymore. Not too much, great. We all know that. And mostly plants, right? Which is again going to be a real food. If we're eating broccoli and apples, you know, that is how that food was meant to be eaten. We don't need to worry about the sugar in broccoli, right? Like we don't probably need to worry about the sugar in apples unless we're eating 5 of them a day, right? It's eating real food, not too much, mostly plants, I think is like just such a great, like, you know, if you have a couple rules to follow, like those are great ones.
I love his little, I think he's so gifted in that. That's when I share with my patients often. It's just like, eat real food, not too much, stop before yourself, and mainly plants. And then I think we're winning. And I think then we can get out of all the diet confusion, all the advice, all the studies. We can just make it simple. And that's something that I do strive for. It's like, we want to do our best, but if we just get bogged down by all the options and all the things, we just get confused and then we're stunned and we can't progress. So let's just make it simple.
Totally. And this is again, like why maybe we don't talk as much about nutrition as I'd like to on the show. Cause it's like, you know, the simpler advice, the stuff you can follow long-term really is going to be the most powerful. We can do fad diets all day long and they will work for periods of time, but we have to make changes that we can do forever. And so if for you, that's that one square of dark chocolate a day, or if for you, that's having like a really amazing dessert once a week at a restaurant, like it's figuring out what is sustainable for you forever. And probably having no sugar ever for the rest of your life is not sustainable for the average person.
Correct. There's always the outliers, and I applaud them. But for most of us, we're average, and some of us want to enjoy it. So I always tell people, there's this ice cream shop that's near me. I love ice cream. It's like, you might see me there one day, and I don't want you to judge me, and I'm not going to judge you.
Right. Because I don't know how often you're there. You're there once a year. Great. Good for you. Enjoy your ice cream. Celebrate. You're there once a month, right? If I start seeing you every day there, I'm going to have some questions, Dr. Shaw. But you know, I ate ice cream every day as a teenager and I was a normal weight, right? Like, you know, it's not all about the food. There's other things that play in for sure. All right. Well, we're just having too much fun here today talking about sugar. If people want to work with you, want to find you, want to follow you anywhere, how do they find you? Where are you at?
So I'm in Orlando, Florida. My website is weight-sense.com. And on Instagram, it's at Nikita Shaw DO.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll make sure those are in the show notes. And for me, you can find my stuff at drfrankavilla.com. That'll take you all the different directions you may need to go. And if you have questions, you can email the Dr. Frankavilla Show at gmail.com and we will answer them on future episodes. So please feel free to send questions that way. Thank you so much for being our guest today. We talked about sugar for a long time and hopefully like that was some good common sense advice that the listeners can sort of incorporate. And until next week, take care.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. Frankavilla Show, where we learn about all things related to weight and health. If you love this podcast, make sure to leave those 5-star reviews and share this podcast with a friend or loved one. If you have a topic about weight and health you want me to tackle, head over to the website, thedrfrankavillashow.com, to submit your question. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss next week's episode. Take care.